This recording begins with the current version of the shir, continues on with a quick review of the shir, and then moves on to the last cycle of the Daf Yomi for the previous version of the shir, which of course has different people involved, a different ambience. You may want to hear both of them and use the second one as a chazor. You may actually prefer the previous cycle to this one. Today's Daf is Masechet Avodah Zarah, and we're coming around the bend here. Holding on Daf Ayin Hey, we're up to Ayin Dalet Amud Beit, and we're four lines up at the bottom, last word on the line, Bameh Minagvan. Now remember that yesterday we spoke about the various levels that are necessary for taking care of whatever was absorbed in the gut or the klei hagat of an akum. And so we spoke about cases where it would be sufficient to simply be madichan, wash them off with water. We spoke about other cases where it's necessary to be minagvan, and we didn't really define what that process was, but it's clear that it's more than just watery, because minagvan means it would have to be dried off. We've already seen that that was be'efer, and we're going to get into today what exactly that is. We had further cases where things were covered with waterproofing, zefet, which was absorptive, where over there you required kiluf. And we even got to cases where kiluf would not be enough. So we've had a number of different options in dealing with things like that. So far we've spoken about the three-time process with cheres to be able to get out whatever was left, leaving it each time for 24 hours, pouring it out, putting in new water. And yesterday we introduced a new idea, which is, I mean, it's obvious we should have thought of it before, that you can always be magil. You can always use hot water the way you would for heksha kalim. Of course, that strikes us as a little bit strange, which is why we wouldn't have come up with it on our own, since there's obviously no way that you can actually be magil a gat. I mean, what would you do? Put an electrical water boiling unit in it and use it as a pot? I mean, how in the world would they be able to do such a thing? Can't put a fire underneath a gat, so what are you going to boil it up with? So it's obvious that the Gemara is calling Magilan to be using a pot that was full of water that you can pour out the hot water, which is called Irikli Rishon. So you boil up a large pot, and then you go around and you pour the hot water all over the edge. Now, of course, that's a big shiloh, whether that's called Hagola or not. I mean, if I have non-kosher pots, can I do that too? Boy, that'd be great. All you got to do is pour a little bit of hot water over the counter, and then everything is fine. Or pour a little bit of hot water on the edges of the kli. Sounds like a big kula. And in fact, the Rabbi Natan brings the raya from here. You see from here 100% that Iroi Kli Rishon has a din of Kli Rishon, and it's enough to be Magil Kelim. Unfortunately, the Rashbam argues and says that clearly Yayin is different, and we've always practiced wine being different for many reasons. One of the obvious ones that had to do with the din of koshering, we spoke about earlier, is that wine is different because it's always used betzonin, which the Gemara spoke about. Something that is by definition kept cool because it's not good for it in any other way. I mean, there, we're not going to be makbet to use the hottest of hot water. So for that, remember, there's always a din of kabolo kach polto, the mode by which something absorbs is the mode by which it can now be encouraged to exude whatever that absorbs. If you started off with something that's always bitsone, then Iroi Kli Rishon is enough. But to start with something that's really used on the fire and then to say that there's an equivalent heat contained in a Iroi Kli Rishon, that is not correct. Remember that the measure of kalim is not in terms of temperature. It's very important to recall that. It's in terms of heat. And obviously, Iroi Kli Rishon, that it might even be of a higher temperature than was used, but the heat content is less because of the fact that it's not in the initial container. It's being poured out so that it cools very rapidly and there's not as much heat that's there. It's not as much energy that's available for transferring into the kli. So it turns out to be a machlokas l'maisa. Of course, there are places where the tashmish is never al yedei tzeinin of a kli on an ash. Let's say like a countertop. So over there, Hinokinami will rely on Iroi Kli Rishon, even though it's not a way to be Magil Kelim. So over here, a gat, which is used b'tzonin, will be samech on irik lirish. And so Rashbam argues because of that here on the Rabbeinu Tam. But meanwhile, we're talking about a process that we don't know anything about, which was called niguv. What is this niguv? So that's today's Gemara. B'memidagvan. Rav Amar. Rav Amar b'mayin. Use water. Of course, doesn't make any sense. Using water is medihan, not menagvan. And Rabba Bar Bachana Amar be'efer. He used ash, or dirt. Both of these things make absolutely no sense. I mean, you can't dry clean a gat by rubbing it with sand or something. Ask the Gemara, well, what? Be'efer, what are you talking about? Be'efer without mayim. You're saying mayim. What does mayim mean? Rabba Rabba mayim. The mayim, water, but not anything else? That's not called menagvan, is it? I mean, how could you possibly use the word dry it out for something that's water? And according to Rabbi Bar Bachana, who says be'efer, I mean, he certainly can't mean clean it be'efer without any water. El Rav Amar b'mayim, he's referring to the mayim, but obviously you need a follow-up for the mayim. V'adin le'efer, that's going to have to be followed with the efer. That's what they would call nowadays, they call chol, which has become the modern Ajax cleaners that contains in it something that is sandy. Often it's actually abrasive as sand. Here it's not enough. Ajax wouldn't work because it's not absorptive because it was already wetted. The idea over here is to keep separate the process of wetting and then of the scrubbing. So it's two different things. So Rav is talking about water followed by efer. Rav Bar Bar Chana is talking about efer followed by water. And there's no argument over here. The question is, what's your starting conditions? If your starting conditions is that there's already liquid in there, in other words, there's some wet wines, and you take that out with absorptive efer, rub it, and then after it's rubbed, you pour water to clean that off, the mixture. We'll see whether that's really enough, or we need two separate steps in the process. This is a machlokas, which we're going to have in a moment, in which the first application of a dry material is used for absorption purposes, but doesn't count for the rubbing. And then you'd have to wash that off, and then you'd have to put in new efer, which would be used for scrubbing, to get into all of the wine that may be absorbed inside. And the other din was talking about b'yavishta, therefore he said b'mayim, and you have to start with water because you can't put in efer into something that's already dried out. Itamar be'rav, now they would say over in the Beit HaMidrash, quoting Rav, that the process is a two- or three-stepped process, whereas Shmuel Omer, it's a three- or four-stepped process. Now, the question over here would be, can you use the application of the efer as the rubbing as well? Or does there always need to be two applications of efer? That's the issue. So therefore, if you start off, the idea over here when he's saying talat or arba, that he's insisting on that it's a three- or four-step process. That means a three- or four-step process, but without the water that is put in at the end, because the water that's put in the end is not part of the process. The water that's put in the end is to wash out the efer that's sitting there, but I'm not going to count that. It would make it sound like that's the halacha. I mean, that obviously you need to wash it out before you use it, but that's not part of the hechsher, just that you can't use the stuff that's in there that has already absorbed the yisur. That's not the point. So, in other words, if you start off damp, so then you've got a three-step process followed by water. So you have to first put in the efer for absorption, and then you wash that out with new water, and then you put in the efer again, because you can't use the same efer that absorbed for rubbing. That's what Shmuel holds. And even though, of course, that's followed by water, we're not counting that as part of the din, because that's only there for the cleaning purposes. But then if it's dry, then it's a five-step process if you include it, because then you have to first put in water, then you put in efer, then you wash that out, according to Shmuel, then you put in efer again, because you need to have it twice, and then again you put the water, but that water I'm not counting. So that's the fifth step in the process. Rav says you can use the afer if you put in the afer in the beginning, so you can use that afer for drying and then also for rubbing. So therefore it's only a two-step process, followed by water, which is three. So it's, therefore, he says, depending if it's dry or wet, it would be a three or two-step process, respectively. According to Shmuel, depending on the dry or wet, it would be a three or four-step process, respectively. But, I mean, four or three-step process, respectively. But that doesn't include the last application of water. That's how they said it, Basura, anyway. Basura matachim pum vedita. In order to avoid confusion, they did mention the last step, because everybody's going to take it for granted. So in Pupadita, what they said was that in Beirav, they quoted Rav as saying it's a three or four-step process, and because they're including the water that was applied at the end, so it would be according to this, it was Yavishta, it would be Mayim, and then the Afer, and the Mayim, and if it was the retifta, so then it would require the first application as well. And Shmuel says arba avachamisha, and there is no machlokas between pupadita and surah, because it's just that the question: do I include the last water? So mar kachashiv maya batroi, or mar lo kachashiv maya batroi. So mumela, we have no machloket between them. We only have the same machloket between Rav and Shmuel, which boils down to machloket of whether I need to have a separate application of scrubbing material. Vomi nemi Rebbe Abu, hani gurgi da armoy mai. What would be the din of the ropes that they use? And remember the way that this thing is made is that you have a pile of grapes that needs to be kept in one piece in order for it not to go scattering around when you try to put pressure on it. So they would use now these net-like things that was used to tie it all together, and that would keep it in place when they put down the korah. And actually, they put underneath the korah, they put a piece of wood, which was called the delet, that was spreading evenly the weight of the korah all around, so that the wine is ultimately going to be absorbed by these ropes, and the ropes are very absorptive. This is a way to clean that and use it. Well, Malei Rabbi Abu, well, it's very obvious to Nitua. We already have seen that there's a lot of things in common in the sugya of Tyrus and the sugya of Yain Nesed. And we brought Rias to how it is that you need to get rid of liquid that had been absorbed betuma, and we had seen that that's similar to the dinim of Yain Nesed. So when it comes to the sugya in Tyrus, so over there it says that Arishayu Gitav Ubeit Badav Tmeim. So somebody has a wine press or an oil press which has been used by Ami Oretz or Riv Tuma, Ubikesh La Sotan B'Tahara, now he wants a Badat Hechsher to be able to have it all taught. So what do you do? Well, first of all, the Dapim and the Adashim and the Lulavim. So now the Dapim, as we said, those are the Dlatot, that's the wide piece of wood. I think the Adashim, now Rashi learns that the Adashim is the gat itself. It's called an Adasha because it's shaped to absorb now the pressure, and then the liquid would stay in it. If that's the case, we run into a lot of problems, because then this sugya does not agree with everything that we've said until now. And because of that, indeed, Rashi says, well, you see that Lomaisa, we're not going to paskin like our sugya. Okay. I mean, others learn that the adashin is a pre-gut container where the grapes are put and then they go down into the gut. The lulavim are simply brooms. They're called lulavim because they used to use the palm branch for brooms. And the brooms, of course, were used to sweep up whatever grapes had escaped the alkaline and put them back into the pile when you press again. But, of course, these things would absorb all of the wine that were... They were wet brooms. So these you need only to be maybe chan. These things do not absorb very much, and you wash it off with water. Now, the Akalin. Now that already, and this of course is the Gurgis. So the Akalin, the ropes, that depends what they're made out of. If they're made out of Nitzarim, which is palm, or Bitzbutz, which is like hemp, same lush as boots, Batzbutz. Batzbutz is like a raw form. So it's something like hemp or raw linen. So these things you would need niguv, which we've already seen is far more than that. It has to be put into the dirt to dry it out and so. Vishal shifa, vishal gumi, miyashnan. If, however, you have something that is even more absorptive than that, and that's straw, or the equivalent of straw in other plants, bamboo, then you have to let it sit around for 12 months until it completely dries out. There's no way to get that ready for use. We'll see there is, but sounds like he's saying you need to wait for 12 months. You'd be schodesh. It doesn't have to be 12 months. It just has to be until the next season. So you can be minichan migat lagat. Or if you're talking about olives, you can do it mibad labad, from one season of olive pressing to the next. Excuse me, but it's not the same thing. I mean, the next season is 12 months later. Tanakama. Not really, says Rav Shimon Gamliel, because if you'd hear the Tanakama, you'd think that it's literally measured by 12 months. In other words, if one season comes out to be a little bit earlier, then you wouldn't be able to use it, because it's not 12 months. And if one season comes out later, so then you can use it earlier. It's defined by the season. I'm talking about the difference would be Chorfei V'Hafli. So it depends, I mean, from one to got to the next, or one bat to the next, is sometimes more and sometimes less than 12 months. It's just saying approximately. The idea is, use it the next time you got to use it. Rabbi Yossi Omer, how about if you want to use it right away? How about if the guy's got a good deal and he needs to use it this season? And he can't wait 12 months. So I wrote, Sela Taran Miyad, there's always the option of using the hot waters. It could be Magilan Barotchin, or you can even be choltan b'mei zeitim. Rashi has the gears of choltan barotchin or molgan, which usually means to scald. And they actually used to do that. They would warm up the zeitim. If you did it really very, very professionally with a good taste, then you leave it long enough until it spontaneously warms, because that's the derech. There's always a little bit of oxidation going on. And gets hotter and hotter and hotter. And as it gets hotter, the olives start falling apart. So that's when you want to press it, after it's already now ready to be pressed. But you could also heat it artificially, and then they would have like this juice that would come out. It's not usable as oil. That's called mei zeitim, which if you use the hot mei zeitim, you could pour that over the ropes, and that now seals them, and now nothing else is going to come out, and then you could use them right away. That's Rashi's Girsa, is the Lashon of Moleg. So there is a way to get it done right away. Reb Shimon Gamliel, Yishum Rabbi Yossi, I mean, you don't need even to go that far. If you have a pipe, and the water's pouring out of the pipe, you can leave them under a hose. Or, I mean, if you've got a stream or something where the Mayan Shemimav Rotfim, the water keeps moving, and you only have to leave them, Kama, only for one Onana. We're going to explain what that means in a moment. And then you can get it done without hot water or without any of these other things. And by the way, the same way we just said that's true about Yayin Nesech, that's true about Tarot also. What? Kape Laya, what the heck are you going? We've been talking about Tyrus. You lost track of what we're talking about. The Tyrus Kaiminan. We're telling me the same way we're talking about Yayin Nesech, we ain't talking about Yayin Nesech. We got to Yayin Nesech through Tyrus. Oops, sorry. I meant Gedera Shemruba Tarot Kacham Rubi Yayin Nesech. No, the other way around. So fine. So the way in which the din was said by Tarot, and that's true now of all of these different issues, which is how we're coming now to address the question of what to do with the gurgi of the armoi, the same way that the din is legabe Tarot, so too is the halacha for Yayin Nesech. If you leave it under flowing hose for an ona, how much is that? For kama ona? Omra kibar avam Rabbi Yochanan, it means a whole day or a whole night. Is what it means. O yom, o laila. Rabchana she'ina, some say it was Rabchana bar she'ina, quotes Rabbi Bar Bachanan, Rabbi Yochanan, that it's a half a day and a half a night. That's the Yom V'Chatzi Laila. Obviously, they're not arguing. Omer Shrubar Yitzchak, they're just illustrating that the meaning of an onah is 12 hours. So if you're during the time of the year where the day and night have significantly different lengths, and if you say half a day and half a night, you're talking about 12 hours. If you're talking about the time of the year near the equinox, so then a day or a night, because it's both either of them at 12 hours. So it depends, obviously, whether you can really be semech on a day or a night or not. Or you can look at your clock. We don't care whether it's day or night. Omer Rav Yehuda. Hani ravaki deramoi, the mazya medichan, and the amram minagvan. So if you have now these filters, and over there, they are actually what Marnea was referring to, which are they become now hardened leftovers. So when you're talking about grapes, it's the shmarim, it's the lees of the wine. And that's usually put in the final stage where everything is filtered out, and then they dump the rest of the whatever was left after the gut is finished into there, and they just let it sit in there to be able to use it again or to sell it to the badats for junk wine, which is really what they do with it nowadays. And they put it into holding tanks, and they take it out of the bottom, and then you can get a temet-like wine from it by mixing it again with water. So these things also, they're pretty much filled with wine for a long time, but the thing is that they're often made out of human hair. So if they're mazia, human hair, it does not absorb very much. So it's sufficient to simply be madichan. You just wash it off with water. The amra, if you're using wool, then menagvan. Then it requires the whole nigav with the drying. And then if it's the kitnan, if you're using linen, then miyashnan. Then you gotta do the 12-month thing. And if there's any kind of kitrit, there's any kind of knots in this thing, you gotta untie the knots, because otherwise the knot is going to keep the liquid and it's never going to get dry. That is about focus, whether that's reference to all of the above processes or only where you're just letting it sit around. And Ram says anything. You can't clean them out if you don't undo the knots. So, yikakaki sharilu. Hani dikule v'chalata darmai. Now, what they would use for filters are sometimes simply a basket. You put the basket there on the spout that's coming out. So dikuli is a basket. And a chalata is also like a loose kind of what they would use for, they would call a kaveret, which is also a different shaped basket. So if they're buying them from a goy, depends what it's made out of. The chayte b'chavli d'tzuri, if they were now woven together using palm, then that doesn't absorb very much. And that, all you need to do is medichan, pour water over them and clean them off. The tzavta, which is a type of straw, then you need to be menagvan. The kitna, then you need to be miyashnan. If it's a flax again, you need to let it wait for 12 months. Now, it's very interesting. Rabbi Tam over here, which is, do not confuse this Gemara with linen tablecloths. Apparently people were saying, if you used your tablecloth on Shabbos, you couldn't use it for milchiks, or would there be no way to ever, you'd need to wait 12 months in order for it to become kosher. Says, that's ridiculous. This is referring specifically to these type of kalim, where the chachamim were all made on the type of usage, the type of material that is boleya very much. Obviously, a tablecloth, which you put in the washing machine, if it's washed, then that's perfectly okay. And that's what he calls the kibbutz, where it keeps getting beaten many times in the context of the kibbutz, which is basically a washing machine, or the, you know, where it's rubbed in the old wash. Before the washing machines. So over there, that was chavita. That for sure, there was no question that it was okay. And this is not the same at all. This is unique to the type of use and specific the construction of the material and the way in which you'd be able to clean these things, which is never as good as a washing machine or a washing board. Itmar. Right, you could probably measure the age of people nowadays by whether they've ever even seen a washer. Talking about a washer, what? It's like a slide rule. what's that? Amazing. Yeah. The eat book kit reshargo, and again, if there's any knots, the knots need to be loosened. Itma, ama oret, shoshit yado legat, venagabe eshkolot. So when an oret sticks his hand now into a gut and touches the eshkolot, and the eshkolot now are the piles that we have over there of grapes, which are sitting now in already liquid wine from before. So you've got a number of different piles, you're going to move them on, put them underneath the delet, put down the Quran over here, and Amoret touches one of these eshkalot. And now the question over here is, was it Sam Amoret is metame? And was he metame the whole gut, or was he only metame the particular grapes that he touched? So Rebbe and Reb Chiya argue about this. Chad amar eshkol v'chol sivivotav tmeim v'chol agat kula Torah, that only that particular cluster that he touches is tamei with the area around it, but not all of the liquid in the gut. V'chad amar kol agat kula nami tmeya. How's that possible? Amar amar eshkol v'chol sivivotav tmeim v'chol agat kula Torah. I mean, why aren't we assuming that the liquid, which was mekabel tuma, touches the liquid in the gut? And there was metame everything. I mean, it's a fresh Mishnah. Ma'ishna miyodit nan, sheretz, shenimtza berechai. If you find now a dead sheretz, it's metame. In here, it's talking about a rechayim, where you're grinding up now the olives. Before they're put into the actual bud, they needed to grind them in order to get them suited for crushing. Then you put them in the bud, and you put the korah over them. So if it's now in the rechayim, then it's only metame the place that it touches, because there's no liquid yet. They haven't been pressed. If there was mashkin, and the mashkin was flowing already, so then if imaya mashkin malech, then akol tamei, obviously the whole thing becomes tamei. So this is exactly that case. The eshkalot always have mashkin. They're sitting in the wine. So I don't understand how anybody could say that the gut is tahor. Ferish a mishnah that it's tamei. No, it's not, says whoever it was, Robert. We don't know which one it was, but either Rebbe or Rekhiya. No, it's not, because hatam lo mifsek v'lo midei. Over there, there's nothing that comes between the pieces and the liquid. It's basically small pieces that are scattered wherever the liquid is. It's all one liquid. There's no way to say that liquid stopped here. But over here, you're talking about eshkalot, you have a pile of grapes. So the liquid doesn't necessarily escape that area. That's the point. So how do you know that you should be chayshesh? Remember, I mean, this whole thing is a tumah de rabbanon we're talking about over here. Tumah zamaret. So it should be chayshesh that the whole God should be tamei. Hocham nifsiki ashkalot. Orele rabbanon Rabbi Yirmiyah. And some say that it was orele levrei de Rabbi Yirmiyah. Yedivrei ha'omer ashkol v'chol sivivotav tmeim v'chol agat kula Torah. So that l'maisa they were mekel. And you can rely on the fact that only that area itself where the eshkol was. But of course, if it was just scattered grapes, it would be the same thing as scattered pieces of olive. And then we would have to assume that the wine went all over the place. Halokeh kli tashmish, you know, of the kokavim. Now, getting beyond the specific questions of Yayin Nesech. How about stam? A guy walks into a non-Jewish store, he buys a pot. What's the halacha over there? So alokeh kli tashmish is regular kitchen. We're not moving away now from the gat and the Beit Aban. Regular kitchen use pots, pans from a goy. Well, then it depends. Etchidar kola tefil. Something which is roy only for tefillah, meaning it's not used for anything else. So then yatpil, just put it in a mikveh, that's fine. If it's something that had been used for hot water, lahagil, yagil. Something that had been used in an open fire, lelabein bu'ur, and put it through an open fire. So a shputz, let's say if I have a spit, or an askala, you have a grill, you have the grating over your barbecue. So those things need to be melabnan, or they have to glow now in the heat, and then they're kosher. Hasakin, a knife, requires you to just put it against the grindstone, and that sharpens the knife, taking off a little bit of the material, and that's sufficient. Mi Torah, and that's okay. Now, Tana, don't misunderstand, says the Tana, misunderstand the Mishnah. The Mishnah doesn't mean that you can substitute Hagalah or Libun or Shafa of a Sakin for Tefillah. And that's what it sounds like. Well, if it only needs Tefillah, that's enough. But if it needs Hagalah, you'll have to do Hagalah. But then you can forget about the Tefillah. No. There's really two completely separate issues over here. Kulam Tzuchim Tefillah. Not only do they need Tefillah Barba'im Sa'ah. They need a full Tefillah, even though Lamaisa, there's a halacha that for Kalim, Tzinum Achatin, Vitzinoriot, it would be enough for them to be nitfal, even in a revius of water. But that's for Tuma. We're not talking about Tuma over here. Tfilat Kalei Midyan is a whole new halacha, which has completely different dinim. Where do we get this from? Oh, my Rabbi, the Amakra. Look, when they came back from the Chemet Midyan, so they brought along a lot of different Kalim in war spoils. So it says over there, called Avara Shariyavo Be'esh Taviru Be'esh V'taher. Ach B'meini Da Yitchata V'chol Asher Lo Yavo Be'esh Taviru B'mayim. So in other words, Taviru B'mayim is a minimal requirement. We'll see what the Ach B'meini Da means. So Hosif L'cha, why does it have to say V'taher? That's what we're talking about. Say, anything that was used in the fire, be magil. Thank you. Or be put into the fire, if it was literal fire. Why do you have to say, and then it will be okay? Obviously, then it will be okay. That's what we're talking about. So the then it will be okay is Osif L'cha Katuv Tara Acheret. The Torah is saying, it's not okay. You're going to have to do something else. And what is that something else? That's the mikvah. Tani Bar Kapara. If the same pasuk said, "Ach b'meinida yitchata, shomea ani yitchata," b'meinida is referring to the mechatat of the paraduma. That's the way we always refer to that. Mayim is meinida for hazaa. So shomea ani shitzar hazaa shlishi b'shviz. They tell me any time you buy a kli from a goy, you need to have a paraduma. And that's what that seems to be saying. Talmud Lomar ach. No. Ach, remember, always means deduct something, reduce it. It's a miut. You don't use the meinidah. So what do you got to say it for? Chalak. It's clarifying that it doesn't mean meichatat. It means mind that would have been suitable for the tefillah of a nidah. So mayim shenidah tovelat bem aveyomer arba'im sa'ah, as opposed to tefillat keilim from tuma, which would be sufficient to do in a revi'it. Now, so you say, okay, so then that's enough. If you're telling me mayim that are ruim, now I know it has to be put in a mikveh. So then why did I need that other diyak? No. Itzik l'michta v'tayer, and itzik l'michta v'meinida. But let's say it would have just said v'tayer. Okay, so I would have said, hava mina v'tayer would mean bekoldo, whatever is necessary for machati v'tzinori, or that only in our boim saw, katav rachmana v'meinida. On the other hand, I katav rachmana v'meinida, so then I would have thought, oh, so then in other words, you can't use it right away. You have to wait until the end of the day, and only then it becomes tahar. So hava mina harif shemesh kenida. Therefore, says the Torah, no, that's it. V'tahar, at that point, it's already kosher. Put it in the mikveh, you can use it immediately. V'tahar la'alter. Omrim nachum omrim rabba barvua. Once this is true, by the way, gentlemen, then obviously, even if it was a brand new kli still in the wrapper, it would still require a tefillah. Because for all intents and purposes, look, I feel kelim chadash mamash, because if you've put something through the fire, then for all intents and purposes, it's a new kli. There's nothing now left of its previous use. You've put it into a blowtorch, it's not a new kli. So that's kechadashim dummy, okay? Nonetheless, it's saying over here v'taher that you require an additional tefillah. So what's the difference if it starts off brand new? If it starts off brand new, also you need a tefillah. Matkifar of sheshet. You know, if you read the pasuk the way you're reading it, so if you buy a pair of scissors to cut a paper or a sarbala for cutting material, so it says over here, anything that you bring back from the goyim, you need to put into the mikvah. That's what you're saying. But there, you always need to put it in the mikvah. I never saw anybody bring table scissors in the mikvah. Why not? If you read pasuk, you'll see that we're talking specifically about klei seuda amurim b'parasha. Because what's the whole thing about kol asher yavo be'esh, taviru be'esh, kol asher yavo b'mayim, taviru b'mayim? It's describing kitchen things, pots and pans. If these are things that you're using on the barbecue, if these are things that you're using on the burners, that's all it talks about. So clearly that's what it's referring to. It's a din in achila. It's not a din in the kli per se. All of this is only talking about where you actually have bought the kelim from the goyim, similar to the maisa over there, where you stole the kelim by war, which is the same as buying them. That's what we're referring to in the context of the parasha. But if you borrow a kli from a goy, so then you don't have to be tovelet. You could use it as is. If it's been used, you have to kasher. If it wasn't used, so then that's unfortunately what Nani's doing now in China. They weren't able to get to a mikveh. They gave the kelim to goyim, then borrowed them back. Yeah. Well, they haven't gotten there yet, so maybe today in the snow they'll find a place. Ava shu'ulim lo. Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef zovan mana demardam yovit kochavim. And sovalat bilah, so he bought kelim that were made out of dung, speaking about Tibet already, or made out of just dried earth, and he wanted to put them in a mikveh. So one of the Talmidim was Rabbi Yaakov was his name, said, L'didim efarshila, I could tell you that I was told from Rabbi Yochanan that if you take a look in the parsha, every single word that it refers to in the parsha is about a metal, and it lists every metal that was in use. Now, why do we need a list of all of the metals? Because it's obviously limited to metals. So clay matachot are amurim b'parsha. Only metal is mentioned over here in the parsha, and nothing else. And if that's the case, why would you worry about it? Amar Rav Ashi, but is this one thing? Metal, how do you define metal? There's different elements of metal. There's the, obviously there's unique things about metal in terms of its conductivity and so on. But there's one element that glass shares with metal. And because of that, we have to be machmir on kli zchuchit, even though it's not mentioned in the pasuk. So even though it doesn't have the same conductivity and elasticity and so on as the metals that are mentioned in the parsha, but it does have that semi-liquid structure that a metal has. So the same way you can heat a metal and now you can melt it, reform it, you do the same thing with glass. And therefore, we mirabonan at least stick the dinim of zchuchit into the din of metal. Because ho'avachinishtabru yeshlem takana kekli matachot dam. Since if lamaisa they break, they can be reformed the same way that a metal can be reformed. So they're considered to be, for this sugya, they're considered to be the same as metal. Now, oh, that's the next piece. Kunya. Now, what about kli kunya? Now, kli kunya is the porcelain kind of thing, which you start with cheras, and then you cover it with a lead glaze, and lead is a metal. So does it go according to the lead, or does it go according to the cheras? So there, pliga baravach ravina. That's a machlokas chara market chilato. Oman yom has a look, it started off essentially as cheras. You can call this kli matachot, despite the fact that it has this glaze on it. And chana markis sofo, that now, since it's covered with metal, so it has to be treated as metal. The hilchot alamaisa, we paskin that it's kisofo. Now, Tosva says, that what we're talking about over here is that not where you've got just a little bit of a rim and so on. There are kaolin that they would put on rims, lead or even other types of things. So over there, that certainly does not need the tefillah, because the main area of the usage of the kli has nothing to do with the metal at all. And remember, we're talking about kli se'uda, and that means the part that you would be mishtamesh is the part that defines what the kli is. It's only where the shimush is with the metallic coating. Therefore, today, where even the things that we have glazed have nothing to do with metals, then most told you don't have to worry about it. Although, you know what they call China there. Iboilo, mashkantamai. How about if he pawned something? How about if the guy has given you, let's say, his becher, and you gave him a loan, and now he's going to pay you back, and you're going to get that. What is that? Is that similar to purchase and requires tefillah to use because lamaisa there was a money exchanged, or do we see that as borrowing because it's temporary? So what would be the deal? My. Omar Mam Bar Ravashi, I could tell you that my father had a pawn shop, Ravashi. Now we know what was going on there. And he would mashkele over kechovim kasa de kaspa. He had this silver becher, and he decided to use it for kiddush. You know, so atpula, he put it to the mikveh first, and then he used it. Now, but I don't know why. You see, I don't know why, because it could be, maybe he holds loyadana im mishum de kasava mashkanta kizvini damia. Maybe he holds that a mashkanta indeed is the equivalent of a sell, but it could be that this particular cup, he noted that the guy had no intention of ever redeeming it, and it was just one of these things where it was going to sit in the pawn shop forever. So the chazi lovi kofam the daite lishkue, he realized it was going to end up sunk there, so what the heck, might as well keep it. And because of that, he was tevelet, but maybe in a chinami. Tonarabon, halokeach klei tashmish minahak. You walk into a store, you buy things from a guy. So if it's brand new, dvarim shelo nishtamesh b'hem, so you just put them in a mikveh, and then they're ready to use. Vein tori. Dvarim shenishtamesh b'hem ayedei tzonei. Now about things that were used, but that the type of things that aren't used in for hot things, so like glasses. We use it for drinking soda or wine. Kosot, kitoniot, tzeluchiot. So then you just wash them off with water, and then you put them in the mikveh. Umad bilan, veim torin. Dvarim shenishtamesh b'hem ayedei chamin. If it was something that generally, it's a used kli, and it's a pot. So you would use it now with hot water. Like yorot, kumkumusim, umechame chamim. They use that word, by the way, even for pots, not necessarily some of ours. So you put them now through Hagolah. And then you table them. And then they're Torah. The Torah says, by the way, it does not have to be in that order. It's not that tefillah won't help if the pot isn't kashered yet. You can do it in the other order. It's just that we're listing it in the way which allows you to just use it. Dvarim shenishtamesh b'mayadeya ur, if it's things that are generally used over an open fire, so this guy's been barbecuing his rib steaks on him, k'gon shpudim askala otzu, then melavnan, then you gotta heat them up until they glow, umat bilan. Of course, you still gotta go to the mikveh, vein tori. The question is, what about bidiyavad? So suppose you went ahead and used these kelim, and you didn't put them in a mikveh, you didn't do the hagalah, you didn't do the libun. What's then over there? Well, tani chada asur, but tani rech mutar. One brayta says it's asur, one brayta says it's mutar, but it's not a contradiction, by the way. It's just the same shita. Except we know the famous machloket, right? Remember, we already saw before that there's a question of whether something that had already not been used for the past day, which is no ten tam livgam. So if you use it and you cook something in it, is that taste also, or is that taste mutanam? The chatchila were saying you should definitely get rid of the taste before using it. But if you used it, you have to worry about it. So this is that same famous machlok. I don't get it. So how did that, if you hold, of course we know the answer to this, if you hold like the Man Yomer, 10 times of Gam is mutar, so how does he understand the whole story of Klei Midyan? Like we're in such a tumult about getting these things cleaned out, and Giulei Akum, and so on. So Giulei Akum, Dasar Achman Echem Ashkachat La. What's that whole story about? Omer, Abchia, Bereda, Ravuna, what's the problem? Lo Asrat Torah, Lekedei Rabat Yuma. The Lav Natin with Gam. That's the point. That there they wanted to use these kelim right away, so fine. So they were told, you want to use it right away, then you're going to have to go through the Agola, the Ur, and so on. Over there it's not called Notein Tam Livgam, but once it's after that day, Mikan Ve'elev, so then why don't we just go ahead and matir it, even L'chatchila? I mean, why is it that we say, no, you got to put, why do you have to? You said, if I go into a store and I buy used kelim, I'm going to have to do agola. What do you mean, I have to do agola? I'll just wait till tomorrow morning. No, what's the problem? That's because the Rabbana made a gzera, a kedera she'ena bat yuma, mishum kedera bat yuma, pishkid, yeah, used to the idea that something that is treif, it's treif, and you have to go ahead and you have to be makshir. But when it comes to the actual things that were used, that were cooked in it, I mean, that at kedekach were not machmir. So then, indeed, it would be kosher b'diavad. The idach, the other man, the Amar, says, it's not true. Because the kedera bat yuma is also nifgam pagma, like we saw earlier. There's always a certain element of pagam. And therefore, if the Torah asserted it, it was assering it, even if it would be on the same day, it would also asser. Because there's a, you can't be machalik, right? You're so anine atam that you know the difference between them. It's over 24 hours, not over 24 hours. By the way, the Rashi's Lashon over here, and this is really machlokas. Rashi's Lashon is that it's called hifik tamo if linat laila, if it was overnight, not 24 hours. So in other words, and then there's a question, is it the laila specifically? This is the okay, the machlokas, according to the shita. Generally speaking, we're machmir 24 hours, tavola bracha, but I mean, lamais, if it gets into a pinch, then there's other issues that need to be taken into consideration. Agvan, Rav Amar B'mayim, Rav Afar B'chan Amar B'efer, Rav Amar B'mayim, V'lo B'efer. Rabba Barba Khanama Ba'efa, that's ridiculous. Ba'efa Vula Bamaim. Ella, the point is Rabba Barba Maim, meaning of course Vladin Lyefer. Rabba Barba Khanama Lyefer Vladin Lamaim Vlo Plige. Habra Tifta Ha Biyavashta. Itmar Be Ravin Fred Ravan Re Tarti Tlat. Shmulama Tlat Arba, or in that's where you had it in Surah anyway. The Pumbadita Matnu Berav Amar Mishmed Rav Tlat Arba Shmuel Amar Arba Chamisha, and Lamais is no difference between Surah and Pumbadita other than how you're phrasing it. Lo Plige Mar Kachashiv the last Maya Batroy Umar Lo Kachashiv Maya Batroy, which is only there to get rid of the dirt. Bomi name Rabbi Abu Hani Gurgini Bear Mai Mai. Omele Rabbi Abu Tenitua Tenefereish Lagabi Din of Tyrus Harishoyu Gitav Beit Badav Tbeim. Ubikesh la sotam betahara, hadapim vaadashim vaalulavim medicha. Akalin shal nitzarim vishal batzbutz bin agvan, shal shifa vishal gumi miyashnan yud beis chodesh. Reb Shimon Gamliel omer, you don't need yud beis chodesh. Meicha migat legat u mibad labad. Same thing. Zat, yike bin eukur bivafle. Reb Yossi omer, harotze letaran miyad, either you could be magilan barotchin, or you can be molgan b'mei zeitim, and Rashi's giras or choltam b'mei zeitim. Reb Shimon Gamliel omer mishum Reb Yossi minichan tachat sinor shemimav mekachin, or in a mayan shemimav rotfim. How long? One ona. Kederach shemru b'yayin nesach. By the way, kach amru b'taharot. Huh? Klapli laya. Taharot keminan. Sorry. Kederach shemru b'taharot. Kach amru b'yayin nesach. Anyway, what's meant by an ona? Om Reb Chiya Bar Ava, Om Reb Yochanan, O Yom, O Laila, Reb Chana Sheina, some say Reb Chana Bar Sheina, quotes Rabba Bar Bachana, Om Reb Yochanan, as saying, Chatzi Yom, Chatzi Laila. Om Reb Shul Bar Yitzchak, of course, Lo Plige, they're just talking about different times of the year. So, Om Reb Kufat Nisan V'Tishrei, Om Reb Kufat Tamuz V'Tevet, and the underlying meaning is 12 hours. Om Reb Yehuda, Hani Ravaki Daramai, the Mazi of human air Medichan, the Amra Minagvan, the kitna miyashnan, and if there's any kitre, you better be shori lehu first. Hani dikui v'chalata daramai, the chayte b'chavle de tsuri medichan, the chayte b'tzavta minagvan. If it's the kitna miyashnan, the itbu kitre shori lehu, itma, ama arts, or shit yad legat, v'nagabe eshkolot, Rabbi v'Rabbi Chiya Chanam Rashkol v'chol sivivotav t'meim v'chol agat kula Torah v'char omer kol agat kula nami t'meya u'demand yom Rashkol v'chol sivivotav t'meim v'chol agat kula Torah. How do you explain the Mishnah away? My Shalom at the time Sheret shenibtza b'rechayim inu matami ala makom magal. But if there was mashki mahalech hakol t'meya, and over here obviously there's mashki mahalech, yeah, but hatam lo mafsik v'lo mide. Over here, the eshkol itself holds the liquid on it. Overly, Rabban and the Rabbi Yirmiyah, Barmel and Vrei the Rabbi Yirmiyah, Kedivrei Omer Eshkol v'Chizivo, Chos v'Vatav t'Meim. But the rest of the gut is kula tahora. Halokeach klei tashmish min ha'akom et shetak kolat bil yad bil yagil yagil lelabein b'ur yelabein b'ur ashpud ve'askel amelabdan b'ur hasakin shafa v'itahora. Tana v'kulan tzrichan tefila barba im sa'a minonim yilei. Omar Ravadi Omar Kro called of Arash Yavo Be'ish Tavio Be'ish V'Taher. What's that V'Taher, Jess? Hosif V'Rakatuv Taracher Tony Bar Kapora Mitoch Shneimar B'Mei Nida Shomei Ani Shitzar Chazar Shlishi V'Shvi Tamal Omar Ach Chalak Im Kein Matam No B'Mei Nida. No, it means something else entirely. Mayim Shnida Tavelet Bem Avi Omar Abarim Sa. So then, what do I need V'Taher? Because ikata v'tayr avamina v'tayr means even koldu, even a revit. Katav rachmanu v'menida. Ikatav rachmanu v'menida avamina arif shemesh k'nida. Katav rachmanu v'tayr instantly. Altar. Omram nachman omar rabba baravahu afilu kelim chadashim are exactly the same here in the pasuk. Because look, yeshanim that you went through libun are the equivalent of kachadashim dama afilu chaboy tvila. There's a common denominator here. We're talking about Kli Su'uda Amurim B'Parasha. Every last thing, achat hazav, et hakesef, and goes on and so forth. It's all metal. So kli matachot amurim b'parasha, nothing else. Om Ravashi, okay, but schuchit for this purpose is, hoya v'chinish tabru, yesh lantakanav ke kli matachot d'damo. Kunya pligi bar Ravach Ravina, chadamar ke tchilato, v'chadamar ke sofo, v'yilchata ke sofo. Iboilo, mashkanta mai. Om Amar bar Ravashi, Abba, and he went and was tevelet. I'm not sure why he was tevelet. Mashkanta is kizvina damya, or because he felt that this was done and he basically owned it because chazal of kachovin the daiti l'shkui. Tana rabban alokeach klei tashmish min haakum dvarim shelo nishtamesh behem. You just need to be matbilan v'intorin dvarim shelo nishtamesh behem, but only for cold kagon kosot kitoniot sluchiot. Medichan, and then matbilan v'em torin. Dvarim shenishtamish b'ma yedei chamin, kugon ayorot, akumkumusim, mecham echamin, magilan, matbilan v'em torin. Dvarim shenishtamish b'ma yedei ur, kugon ashpudim, askalaot, melabnan, matbilan v'em torin. V'kulan shenishtamish b'em, ad shelo yadbil v'shelo yagil v'shelo yilabin, tani chara asur v'tani yirich mutar, and lokasha, kamani yom noten tam v'gam asur, or kamani yom noten tam v'gam mutar. Kamani yom noten tam v'gam mutar. So, giyula yakum dos rachman echamash kachat la. Om repriya berei de ravuna, lo asur tere, keterek bat yuma, dolav note tab v'gamu. So, I understand. So, then why did you say that you need to be marshed? So, just wait. Mikan ve'el lishter. Now, that's a gezeira, kederek jenemat yuma, to use it l'chatchila, mishum kidera bat yuma. V'idach, kidera bat yuma nami mivgam pogma, and you can't say that the parashas Midyan is different whether it's bat yuma or la bat yuma.
You good? So, today we're holding on the Bayin Heyom and Aleph, and we're in the middle of the sugya of what is considered to be the nigu in the Gemara. So the Gemara said, yes, the man, the Nagvan. And we found that Rav says, talks about Mayim, and Rav Bar Bachana talks about Afer, and the Gemara ends up pointing out, well, obviously it can't be one without the other. It's a drying out process to absorb any liquid that's left, and then there's also the washing off process, if there was liquid there, or if the Afer itself now has absorbed liquid. And today we want to clarify what the order of it is. So yesterday we said that, okay, certainly if it's wet, so then the way to say it is Afer Mayim. There's some moisture that's left on in the wine. So you say Afer to absorb the moisture, then Mayim. If it's dry, then it's Mayim and then Afer. But it doesn't tell us whether this is repeated. But that's today's Gemara. It's Mayim. We're on the third line now of the Vayim here in Aleph. Be'rav mishmei de'rav amrei tarte tlat. In the Beis HaMedrash of Rav, they quote Rav as saying two or three times. We'll see what that means. Ushmuel omer tlat arba. Ushmuel says three or four times. Now that's the way they said it in Surah. In Pumbedisa, they said that the machlokus was that Be'rav amre mishmei de'rav tlat arba. According to this version, it's Rav who said three or four times. And Shmuel, in this version, says four or five times. Shmuel Amar Arba V'Chamisha. V'lo Plige, there's not really an argument, now it's not clear that there's not an argument between the two Lashonos, that there's not an argument between Rav and Shmuel, but I'll discuss this in detail in a moment. Mar Kafashiv Maya Batra'i? Mar Lo Kafashiv Maya Batra'i? The simply a question over your phrasing. One Lashon, or one Mandiyomet, depending on how we're going to understand this Gemara, also includes the last wash, because there's always a wash-off at the end, and one does not include the last wash-off. Now, there's really three approaches to this sugya. I'm only going to tell you Rashi's preferred approach instead of his two, the one that he brings from his Morim and so on. He has a lot of problems with it. Tosus has problems with it. So let's take a look at the way that he says he prefers to understand it. He suggests like this, that the way really to look at it I think we shouldn't bother. Wow. Oh, now I'm feeling good. Okay, so let's just take a look at the pirush that he prefers, even though it's the second one that he brings. The pirush that he prefers is to say like this, that tarte tlas, it was a reference to tarte when it's yabesh. So when it's yavesh, all we have to worry about is the water first, and then the afer. We're not talking about the water at the end, because maya basroi lo kafashi. And that's the yavishta. And then biritivta, we already said there's a difference. You have to start with afer. So biritivta, if you start with afer, that first afer is there in order to absorb the moisture that was already there. And then you go ahead, you pour in water to wash that off, and now we start with the process of having a clean item, now put in the apron, and your clean item. And of course you could have to wash it off, but we're not talking about the wash off at the end. So this would be the approach of Rav, according to his. And according to Shmuel, what he's saying is you always need a double portion of apron, no matter what you start with. Shmuel is saying, if you start off dry, then fine, then I understand. It's the way that you said it. So you're going to use the Mayim, then the Afer, you wash it off, you put on the Afer. And we won't talk about the fifth thing, which is the wash-off water, because we're not talking about the wash-off water in this Lashon. Whereas if, however, you're talking about now starting with Yavesha, then you have to first, according to this, put in the water in order for the Afer to be able to absorb. And then you have water again. And then you have Afer again. And then you need the water again at the end. And when it says lo plige, so according to him, in other words, you always need a double portion of Afer. That's what Shmuel holds. So if you start with Yavishti, you have no choice.
in order to get in that double portion of apron. There's no point to putting an apron if there's nothing to absorb. So you first start by wetting it and washing it off. Use the apron to clear that off. And now you start with the apron and then the water at the end. So according to this lashon, when it says lo plige, it doesn't mean rav and shmuel lo plige. It means, in other words, that the sura and punpanisa don't really argue, because all that we do by adding one to each is to say, well, in sura they weren't talking about the final wash. If you add the final wash, of course you're going to have to add one more at the end. So they're not arguing in anything at all. But of course, rav and shmuel are arguing. And it doesn't matter, I mean, which lashon. They're always going to be arguing, because Rav, you only need Efer once, and according to Shmuel, you need Efer twice. And that ends up making an Afkamina. Different Afkamina is whether it's Yavesh or Ratut, but nonetheless, it's Afkamina in both lashonas. So he likes that shot. Now, Tosfos doesn't like either of the shots of Rashi, and therefore, the Ri has a different approach. And according to him, it goes like this. Rav, who says tlat, tarte tlat, is talking about tarte biyavesh. So that's his, of course, first mayim, then efer. We understood it the whole time. And if you're starting off with something that's wet, and he's agreeing that the first wash off is just in order to be able to bear something to absorb. If you wash it off, then you put in the efer, and after washing that off, you put in efer now. Now we can get moving. So that according to him, and again, we're not talking about that final wash off at all, and according to Shmuel, tlat, yes, if it's wet, because according to Shmuel, and this is the Rishkap, we are mentioning that last water. So it's Rav and Shmuel who aren't arguing. But the Lashonas are arguing. So in the Surah part, Shmuel is simply saying, hey Rav, you forgot to mention that you also have to pour water on the end. And Rav goes, obviously you got to pour water on the end. I mean, what, are you going to leave the apron inside the container? I mean, I didn't bother mentioning that. So they weren't arguing at all. And that's the lashon in Suranam Pumbadisa. Rav says, tlat arba'a. In other words, tlat, if you're starting off with something that's wet, you're first put in the apron. That apron just absorbs the moisture of the wine. Wash that out, now start. Put in the apron. That's tlat. Of course, according to Shmuel, that's arba, because there's also the last wash-off, which is true in this lashon as well. And then if you're talking about the avishta, you have to start off with the water in order to do anything to the apron. Putting apron on a completely dry surface doesn't make any sense. Start off with water, then that becomes equivalent to the wine of the first one. Put in the apron, wash that off, now put in the apron. Okay, and then, of course, there'll have to be a last wash-off, which Shmuel is saying. And by the way, you forgot to mention that last wash-off, so that the Lashana certainly are arguing. When it says v'lo plige, it means that Rav and Shmuel are lo plige. There's two very different approaches here between Tosfos and Rashi.
So it's used as a scoring powder, or...?
No, as an absorptive.
Rav used to wash out dishes.
Yes, scouring powder. That's a whole. When we do that, we use the word coal. As a matter of fact, if you remember, the Ajax here, they always used to call it coal. Right? Remember, you would go to my car, you'd like some coal. Coal meant scouring powder. And in the Gemara also, it always talks about coal as a scrubbing agent. And so over here, we're talking about a negative agent. It's not quite the same.
What was
then
to get out of mushrooms?
Well, no, it's a given that mamushes we have to remove. I mean, we're talking about absorption of wines.
Pulling out yeah. The walls?
Yeah, or if there's, if there's any holes, we want to make sure that we get it all out. That was the case that Rav was talking about before when he found a little shikua. We get it all out.
Paper
is ash. Yeah, it's very, very absorptive. Hawthorn is soil. When we say offar, then it often means a soap, like a borac or things like that. That's for cleaning out, like sunning and things like that. But here we're talking about drying ages. Bo mine mi Rebbe Avu. They asked questions for Gavi Rebbe Avu about the kelim of the gut. So Hanagura Goi, these are apparently different lashonas. They are either things that you wrap around on the top of the grapes to hold them together so when they're crushed, they're not just going to start flying all over the place. You start putting down a weight on them.
So you wrap them with a net-like affair. The net holds them together. You find the equivalent thing of akal beit habad legabe zeitim. So it's an equivalent kind of thing. And that the question is, what would be the din of the using ones that are da'ar moy, that belong to goyim, my? Omale rabbi abu tenitu. Well, we already know that halacha. Aresha ayu gitavu beit badat me'im. Suppose he has his wine press or his olive press, and they're actually tummy. And he's mevakesh la'asotan b'taharah. He wants to take out now any mashkim to me'im that are here, so he shouldn't be metame the new ones. What does he do? Hadapim v'ha'adashim v'avulavim. So the dapim are the actual boards, wide boards that are used to press and put on top, and that way anything that escaped is crushed by the breath of the board, rather than just people stepping on it. And the lulavin are simply brooms. They would use lulavin to sweep up any escaped grapes. You got to get them back to the middle where they can be crushed. They would use lulavim, and you want to use the same lulavim, even though they've got moisture in them and so on. The adashim, those are the concave areas, which we call like a lens. We use that today for adashah. It's the same idea. The place where the grapes will be gathered, or the olives will be gathered in a little concave area. So that's the actual body of the gods or of the bod.
Those things exist.
There's an English name for it.
I'm saying, when you go to a god, and all the Greek gods, there's a little place on the side, they show this is where the grapes sit.
And they don't call it the Adashah?
I haven't heard that.
Uh-huh. All over the Gemara, there's Adashah. So the Avulavin, Madisan, you wash them off, and that's enough, because there's not much absorption, really, in that area. Ha'akalin shel mitzarim v'shel bitzputz minagvan. Whereas if you've got the akal, which we spoke about before, it's the same lashon of the gurgi. So the akal, if they're made of mitzarim, which are reeds that are very absorptive, or if they're made of bitzputz, the Aruch says is a lashon of butz, which is actually linen, so it's raw. The raw plant that is also very absorptive. Flax plant. So that you have to actually do this niguf process. We said that was the aether and the mayim and so on. It's not just enough to pour some water over it. V'shel shifa v'shel gumi miyashnan. If they're actually made out of shifa and gumi, which are reeds or bamboo, and there's three levels of plants. I don't know the difference in terms of their absorptive capabilities. Some of them are more absorptive, some of them are shinier and less absorptive. So the ones that are more absorptive, usually we call gumi, you know, reeds. Like we could talk about the Yam Suf as an area of gumi. So there, they absorb a lot, and you have to let them simply dry out for 12 months. Whatever is in there shouldn't have any chashivas b'chlal. So miyashnan shneimasar chodesh. Rav Shimon Gamliel says you don't really need shneimasar chodesh. But you leave until the next season. What do you mean the next season? That's it, that same thing. And it's anakama. No, not because he can be there. There are seasons that are shorter. You know, sometimes it's a year that's very productive or there's a lot of water, and you get to the next season may come only 11 months later or whatever. So this is saying you don't have to worry that it would be literally a year. The point is not used for the whole season until it's time for the annual bod, whenever that comes out, or the annual gas.
In addition to the afar and the mine?
Right? No, that's miyashdan. That gets rid of it completely.
Because they're less absorptive.
No, because after big miyashing it, there's nothing else to worry about. Over here, we're trying to do it faster. I suppose you want to really do it fast. You want to be able to use it tomorrow. What do you do then? So now somebody comes who wants to hire your bot for a kosher run, for a Torah run. What do you do then? So says the Gemara, if you need to do it quickly, harotz l'taharan miyad, so what you need to do is madilan barotchim. Again, you have to use hot water, boiling hot water. Over this, we talked about yesterday, we got the machlokas, Rabbeinu Tam, and so on, about iroi kli rishon.
So you need to actually boil it up, either with hot water. Ochotan b'mezeke mor, what you have to do is you have to be cholet. How do you say in English?
Purge?
No. When you seal something up, are you using it in meditation? Are you in?
Yeah, it's like water.
Yeah. So you use the mezeke, and that prevents anything from coming out of you. You're cholet. You leave a hose running over it, or you could put it obviously into a stream where the water keeps flowing. And how much time do you have to leave it flowing if you don't have hot water? The kama or na, and we'll see how much that is. And kiderek shamru b'yainet as karkamru b'tayres. Same thing that we just said about Yayinetic problems, which of course isn't true. We weren't talking about Yayinetic problems. I was going to ask this. The same thing would be true about Tyrus. So, Gemara, what are you talking about? Stop it, Maya. Which direction are you headed? The Tyrus Kaimina. We've been talking about Tyrus. Oh, sorry. Kedarsha Omru, the Tyrus, Kakamu, the Yayinetic. Anyway, Kama Ona, when we say Ona, what is that shir? Omru, Pia Barava, Omru, Yelkuran, O Yom Olaila. A day or a night. Rabchana Sheina, or some say Rabchana Bar Sheina, it says, in the name of Rabbi Barachan, Amr Yochanan, it means half a day and half a night. And Amr Shema Bar Yitzchak, without pleading. All he's coming to do is to clarify, when he says a day or a night, it doesn't mean that you can rely on a day or a night when the day isn't even. That's all that he's coming to say. He means you need 12 hours. The way to say you need 12 hours is half a day and half a night. You could say a day or a night, depending on what time of the year it is, below Pligi. Habitzkufat Nisan v'tishrei. If you're during Nisan time or Tishrei time when it's even, the day and the night, you could say the day and the night. If you're talking about summer, winter, where the day and the night are not even, then you need a Katsiyam. Katsiyam, obviously. So Habitzkufat Tammuz v'tepeit.
So why would you need a gun during the, half the year you wouldn't use the gun?
So?
So, why am I?
What's the question?
Now,
yeah, it's right now still season, and I need to make another run. This happens all the time in factories.
Right.
I want to do a kosher run, or I want to do a Torah run, or I want to do after doing a non-kosher run or a Tomei run.
No, but I'm saying the shear that they need to wait, it's
going
to be pretty.
Yeah. 12 hours.
Yeah, because it's only like a 5 month period that they're not even that they're dealing with the God, aren't they? They're not working.
Here. I'm missing.
Only like from May, June until July, August, that they're using the gun.
Yeah.
So there's such a difference. The time of the day and night in May and August is not the same, no? It's not like it's April.
June is when it's even. August is significantly different. Very significantly different. You're already almost the full difference. Then you're going to start moving back up again.
Okay.
Fine. So that's the shear. The shear, basically, in our terms, we would say 12 hours. I mean, they didn't have a concept of 12 hours in that sense. So that's the only way they could say it. We have a clock to 12 hours, and they have a sun 12 hours. How do you say 12 hours by the sun? You have to say. That's the answer. Omer Rav Yehuda, Hani Ravuki Darmoi, these particular kelim, now these Ravuki were essentially ways in which you would filter out the various garbage that was coming out from the grapes, so the shmarim and anything else, the lees, the pits, and so on. So what do you do about those? How do you clean the filters out in such a way they can reuse the filters for a kosher run or for a tohar run? Well, it depends what they're made out of. The mazya hair filters, which were popular because they don't absorb much, so the hair is pretty unabsorptive. So the mazya medichar, you simply wash them off. The amra, if you're talking about now wool, then you need to go through niguv. If you're talking about kitna, that's actual linen, then because this is the actual material, this is not the flax, the raw flax, which is hard. Then miyashna, you have to wait the whole 12 month thing. The Ika Kitre, now if there's areas in which they've been knotted, and you're not just using a mass, if the knots have to be loosened, the shorilu, because otherwise the hot water doesn't get in there, or the water that you're cleaning up doesn't get in there, and it's basically what runs through it eventually absorbs the stuff that's inside the knotted area,
Does that include if you're leaving it for 12 months, or is that already a
relevant? It's actually a machlokes on what the kitri is referring to. Machlokes for sure. Hani dikule v'chalata da'armai. Now, when it comes to the dikulam as an actual basket, and the chalata is a basket-like filter, in which you run the wine through it afterwards. So those things, again, it depends. The chayte b'chavle v'tsuri, if they've been woven out of, and again, the tsur comes from a deco, it's a reed, you know, that reed type thing, but those are, you see this ropey stuff growing out of the bottom of the deco. It looks basically the same way that ropes look, but it's got obviously different absorptive capability. So maybe chan, you simply wash them out. And the tsavta, if you've been using tsavta, which is a type of reed, again, I don't know the technicalities, you need to do nigo. If you can't just wash off the wine, that won't be enough. And the kitna, as we saw before, when it comes to linen, miyashnan, bi'i'itzbuhu kitri sharimuhu. Any kind of knots have to be loosened in order for the water to get there, or the air to get there, depending how you learn. Itzman. Ama aret, so shit yadol legat, v'nagaba ashkolot. Now, in the gut, before everything is crushed, there's obviously piles in which the clusters of grapes, it's not all separated grapes, you take clusters of grapes, throw them in, it's all going to be filtered anyway. So you've got globs in a gut. Now the question is, if somebody touches that, and he is not tahar, we assume he's tummy, as an ama aret, how much became tummy? How do we look at it? So Rabbi and Rabbi Chia argue. Chad amar eshkol v'chos v'votat me'im v'chol hagat kula tahora v'chad amar kol hagat kula namit me'a. The question over here is each goab viewed as a circle? We draw a circle around it, and where it hits the next goab circle, that's the boundary of the tumah, and everything else is now considered to be mechur, but to the next glob. So we don't view this as one vast liquid thing, because it's still ashkalot. So we merely won't be matami everything from one to the other. And the other one says, no, it's all considered basically to be already a liquid, it's everything is tummy, the whole god is now tummy.
It's because of the reality of the god, the way the grapes are spread out there?
No. Remember, the whole din of tumah samaritz is really is a tumah derabbanan.
I mean, if you stuck his hand in a barrel full of grapes, it would be different, correct?
Yeah, of course. Okay. For sure, it's only what it is that he touched.
Only what he touched?
Of course.
It's a solid
resolution. The din of chibur kli and so on is true legabe kodesh, but that's for one of the chomer b'kodesh issues, but not a normal a case of a normal guy. And the question that the Gemara wants to know is my shnami hadetznan sheret shinim tzabere chayim enem etan elam amakom maga'o. Here, a refayim over here is not talking about a wheat refayim. It's talking about after you put the olives that you're going to be making oil, you first grind them up before you put them into the bod at all. You're not even up to the stage of bod. You crush them.
In the oven.
So they're crushed. Then you put them from there, you put them into the bod. Over here, the Amar stuck his hand in there. So if it's already wet and the mashkin are flowing over it, then hakol tamei. So if hakol tamei, why is it? I mean, there's obviously liquid in the gut, so why is it hakol tamei in the gut? Well, very simple. Says the Gemara, mipsik v'lamide. Hakam mipsik ashkalot. Over there, basically, there's no globs. You put the whole thing through a grinder. So there's no way to make circles around pieces. Where are the pieces? It's all basically a mass of crushed olive. Mashenkin, over here, you're looking at a flat surface with globs of eshkolot. And our question is, what is the area of the influence of each eshkol? So one man, Yomar holds that we're not gazer to view the whole thing as if the mashke is mahalik, and it's batame everything. Whatever area that he touched, that's the area that has to be removed. Olulei Rabbanan Rabbi Yirmiyah. So the Rabbanan were Mer HaLokot Rabbi Yirmiyah. Some say it was Rabbi Yirmiyah's son. Kedivrei HaOmer Eshkol V'chol Svivotav Tnei'im V'chol Agat Kula Torah. Now, Lokol HaMaisa, we see that they actually were Semech on this Kula that we don't view the entire God to be one large area of tuma.
Svivotav is
a liquid. Yes, svivotav is the liquid up till the area of the influence of the next Heshkol. Yeah, you're right. Theoretically, it is. But these are the way in which we view these chumras that we gave. Remember, the din. This is a chumra of tumas hamaaretz that we view it as.
You scoop it up.
And it would be different if it was a tamei mesh or something.
Yeah, in other words, wherever you're dealing with tuma in your eyes, you can't make these kind of distinctions.
If it was liquid up to any of these eschumras, of course, it would go throughout.
No, there is liquid here. But the Ashkelos consider it to be a break.
They're
a liquid break.
No,
there is liquid. There's no real way to avoid a liquid. But nonetheless, we're viewing each area as like a different job. Even though it's wet. Halokeach kli tashmish mina ovei kochavim. Here, we're coming for the first time to discuss actual tefilas kelim. And the way that the Torah puts together this sugya is that, of course, it's kli medium, which we saw earlier when I had the question of the nice and tamlid gum and so on. But the only remez that we have to actual tefilas kelim that we do, and it's about kolkas we showed him according to the Rambam, it's only an asmachta. Doesn't mean seriously that the Torah expected us to put it into a mikvah. But other rishonim take it very seriously. The Gemara here is not talking about asmachta. It's learning pashut. That's the meaning of the pasuk. But we know that when they came back, so Hazar Kohen, he warned everybody to make sure that you don't use these things unless you take care of the issur that's involved. In the context of that issur, he talks about being madir things, the mayim, the meinida. It's very strange. What are we talking about? Mayim and meinida. That's what the Gemara is going to put together with the question of kashrus. So we have basically four levels that we have to distinguish. One is things that are used in cold, so we wash off, that's it. The other is things that are used in boiling liquids. We need to put them in boiling liquids. Our favorite Haggadah. And then we have things that are used on an open flame, which reach a much higher temperature. So like a grill or a spit. Those things are used over a flame. They need that higher temperature. We call that libum. Those are three dargas. But even if something wasn't used at all, we have the other issue of putting it into a mikveh. So there's really four things that we need to think about when we take kalim from an akum. And our Mishnah puts them all together. So what requires only the actual tefillah and doesn't need anything else? So that's enough to simply put into a mikvah. The truth is, if it was only used for cold liquids, then the mikvah also washes it off. So you don't need two separate things. You put it into a mikvah and you've washed it off and you've also made it usable. Lahagil. If something is used for hot water, yadil. Lulabein bu'ur, yulabein bu'ur. Something that has to be now made white hot in a fire, do that. So a shfud, a spit, or an atzkel, or a grill, mulabnan bu'ur. And a sakin, of course, there's always another alternative. You have a knife, shafa bihitara, it's sufficient to actually be milatesh, the sakin. And by being melatesh, you're taking off anything that's on the surface. And that's the equivalent, really, of the washing it off that you would have done. So that's enough. Obviously, it's still going to require the tefillah in terms of the...
Scrape the knife?
Yeah, it's sharpened with a stone. When they use stones to sharpen.
Is that your knife?
No, we're talking about a used knife. You're talking about a new knife. You'd have to assume it was used for a hot also, unless it's the type of thing that is only used for, a vegetable or whatever.
You can't boil it up anymore.
You'd have to also boil it up.
Boil it
and no, here the problem is that on a knife, there's always this additional problem that knives are used on things that leave a deposit. And this is why there's a difference when it comes to kashrus issues. Something that was cut with a knife or something, just I'm stuck in a spoon into. A tremendous difference. Because a sakin, there's actually two differences. One is the fact that in cutting shamnunis, the shamlinus is left on it. The other is that if it's also something that is sharp, then we have a concept called duchka, the sakina.
Only the sharp thing?
Yeah, because remember that the actual pressure is a function of pounds per inch, so to speak, or kilos per millimeter. So the sharper something is, the more incredibly intense the pressure is. If you have a sharp knife and you're cutting through a piece of meat with that knife, you could be talking about literally many tons per square inch of pressure, because it's on a tiny little surface, and you're putting on, you know, on that little surface, you're putting on 50, 60 pounds of pressure. Expand that to per square inch, you're talking about literally tons. I mean, it's a real press. So over there, you've got a problem, or even normally, if something isn't hot, it's not going to absorb. But if something is also under pressure, it does absorb. So you need to do, on a socking, you need to do things you don't need to do on other things. That's why we have the forcing it into the ground. Right? So pressing it to hard ground 10 times, just to wipe off the sides from the shamlunis. If it's a double chorus, we're going to need to actually be modulating it if it isn't hot. No. Yeah, well, whatever. Any type of shamlunis. You cut cheese with it, or, you know, cut meat with it. It leaves a surface film on the knife. So, therefore, you need to be shafat. Son, you still need to put it into a mikvah, even though we don't mention it here. But you need, so when it said the lashon darko lahatfil in the beginning of the Mishnah, darko lahatfil means basically in our Mishnah, it's the sense of the water on it, even though it's referenced to a mikvah. But it's very misleading. But in the Mishnah, it's mashma, the lahatfil is to wash it off, which isn't true. There comes something more to say, wait. It says, well, I feel they're all going to need feel of the mikvah. All we're saying in the ratio is that that's sufficient, because it's also media. So, kulan tzrichin tefila barbaim, so even after you made it white hot, which you might think, okay, so now it's new, basically, right? So, I mean, it's all clean. What do I got to get? Take the mikvah? So, I got to take it to the mikvah. Minan, immediately, where do we get that from? It's a whole difference. Amar Rav, Yom HaKar, Kol Tavar Hashem Yavol Ba'esh, Aviru Ba'esh, B'tahar. What's the Tahir? All I have to say is called the fire, Shayavo Ba'esh. Anything that has been used in the fire, like a grill, put it through a fire. Well, I mean, that's what I'm telling you to do. What's the fire? So the there is obviously adding something. It's trying to tell you, and make sure, by the way, that you did the equivalent of Tahir on it. And what's that? That's to take it to a mikveh. Bar Kapara says, Mitokshin Hamad B'meinida. Why? What is this b'mei nida yitzchata? The shomei anisha tzarech hazaash v'shiv v'shvi. I mean, mei nida is something that we use by the Bar Aduma. Mei nida lo zarakalav, all of that. You mean to say that you need to go through hazoya of the Bar Aduma? Therefore, Talmud Lomar, ach means chalak. This is not to be understood as the mei nida that we mentioned in the sugya of the Bar Aduma. So then why mention it? Here it means meinida. Not meinida mayim of hazaya, but mayim that a nida would have been able to use. Mayim shenida tovelepehem. Meaning that you need to have a mikvah of arba'im sa'ah. Even though midiraita, you don't need arba'im sa'ah for a small kli. Midiraita, if a needle fits into a little area, that's a kosher mikvah for a needle.
Why would I think that?
Why would I think what?
Even though we
don't
know?
We don't know what?
That you need
Arba. You don't, as I'm telling you. That even though meteorite, you don't need Arba Yimsa'ah. So, as you say, what do you mean? I bought a spoon. What do I need? I may need that a mikveh that a nida should be developed. Comes along now, the buzz to tell me that it has to be Mamish Ruhuya Lanida. And therefore, it's just Lamirta Vitaher. This is Lamirta Vitaher. You need really both chicken, both Parkapar's buzzing. And the rub is possible. Because ikas v'taher, havamina v'taher kodahu. We'd say v'taher. So what do I know v'taher? V'taher could mean in a little bubble. It's also a mikveh. Therefore, it comes along to say, because I'm on the meinida. On the other hand, it would say, the meinida would give it the din of the meinida. It would say, it needs arif shemesh. And you can't, you put it into the mikveh, which you can't use it the same day in the mikveh. After all, the tahir compares it to a nida. Therefore, because I'm on the v'taher. And at that point, it will be tahir. Meaning la alter. You don't have to worry about Erev Shemesh. Omer Nachman, Omer Baruch, by the way, Afilu Kelim Chadashim B'Mash. Even if you buy a brand new Kali, it's still Mash, but you have to take it to the mikveh. Because in our case, where you have things that are Yeshanim, so it's talking about they brought the actual Kelim the Goyim had been using in Milchemes Midian, but it says you have to put them through the Ur. But once you put them through the fire, so for all kinds of purposes, they're new. No, in terms of kashrus, they're completely new. They have no bli in them. They've been turned white hot. So they're chadashim dami. Nonetheless, it still says v'taher. After you do all of that, you have to put in the mikveh. So that's the case. Then you have to put in the mikveh even if it is brand new. If that's the case, so then what you're saying is it has nothing to do with kashrus. Isn't that right? Because we've gotten rid of all the kashrus problems. So that has nothing to do with kashrus. Who's to say it has anything to do with eating? Maybe stone. You buy a scissors to cut your hair with from a guy. You need to put it in the mikveh. I mean, if not, if it's only in, it's not a kashrus orientation. Where did you get the idea that the cloths are getting kashrus? You want to use a kli of a guy, you have to put it into a mikveh.
Even a scissors?
No, no. After those scissors are terrible. Even a clothing scissor. You use it to cut cloth. You should have to put it in the mikveh. Why not? It's a prejudice you have.
We're
asking. Why not? Dishlein, I thought it was part of the kashrus series here, okay? But you're telling me I've already made it new. And if it's new, I shouldn't have to worry about it. So, I mean, then I should worry about anything new. On my lay, he said, you're right. But if you analyze the parsha, the very fact that it starts talking about that could only be kashrus. So the fact that tefillah is introduced in the parsha of kashrus means that's what eating. And therefore we say kolei se'uda amurim b'parasha.
Why wouldn't we think that this was like a one-time thing for Klein Midian, and that we jump in now and assume that anything new would also need tefillah?
Yeah, why not?
Well, maybe we
what's unique about Klein Midian?
I don't know.
That's why I wasn't saying, by the way. Whatever you've talked about, I mean, on the contrary, the whole mashmash of the pasuk is, you know, you're coming with these things about bringing Chelitz Hashem, and I just want you to remember. I mean, that doesn't mean it's kosher. I mean, you've got other problems here. I'm just telling you about it. Didn't it really happen?
He asked why
is it the Dorot? Why should it be Dorot? Well, there's no indication of the Dorot. On the contrary, you see from the whole way that it's done, there wasn't a special seemingly dimension. He's telling them, by the way, you know, remember, even though we didn't say anything about him, and obviously you still have to capture it and make sure that you're going to be using it. So that's, otherwise, why doesn't Moshe say, like, Abraham, Moshe, like, more of it, and so on. Omer of Nachman, Omer Abba Baragua, Voshon Rala Mubila Kukhi. But the interesting thing over here is that this whole halacha is only said when the Jew owns it. Because that's essentially what happened. The Jews owned it because they took it to Milchama. But suppose you had borrowed Kalin? There's no indication in the Parsha that tefillah has to do with any reality. We've already gotten rid of the problems of the kashrus. Avashu'ulim lo. By the way, there are those who are saying that. I think it's sort of Avadi Yosef, actually. It was Mamash Patsy, it was Ahaloka. That Kalim, whose essence is to be Shu'ulim. Meaning.
Like the mocking.
No, like restaurants. That's the beautiful part about his psak. Is that you don't have to worry about Tzilat Kalim, even though it's a Jewish restaurant. You don't have to be Choshesh. So, how do we know that the Jewish table is Kalim? Because the Jew himself is never using this as his Kalim. It was bought in order to be Shu'ulim.
There's
stomach on
that.
And there's everybody.
In hotels that have his...
That have his hashgacha?
Then they don't...
They're not even mindful of hashgacha. You're kidding. And I know that he says this for the Abad. I know that actually said it on it. Wow.
That was at least certainly true
10,
11 years ago when I worked at the
high.
In America, they still are not
told
about
scaling
that they're bought specifically for
this part of the restaurant. Okay, so then the same
economy. And off the square, we always told when you buy new dishes, you stuck them all out.
Yeah.
I guess it's the other one.
Yeah. Interesting.
Because
these
are used for.
Right. They're not kalim that I'm yuchadim for anything but she'ela.
So, gamachim
would. Obviously. No, it could be also not. Same place. So, I mean, obviously, this is an extension of the Parshat Din, the Sheila from the Akum. Because, I mean, that's not my business. When I bought it. So you say, if I bought it, I'm pleased to be titled it. No, not true. Not if it's always going to be used through Sheila. Anyway, that's how he posits.
That's a temporary use, a one-time use.
That's something else. It's also very interesting. That's Reb Meisher's idea. Reb Meisher posits the things that are be'etzem one-time use things. That are, even if they're metallic one-time use. So let's say, I mean, there are people, they buy a coffee bottle, will pour out the coffee, go take it to a mikveh, and then put the coffee back in. Because how can I use it again and again? I'm keeping my container of coffee. The glass jar problem.
That's in Baltimore, the system. My nephew there.
Really? I think he's just part of the group. Baltimore's not at the cutting edge of Homer's yet. People do that for sure.
Depends on whether you buy the jar or whether you buy the content.
Oh.
But if you're buying the coffee, because it's in pretty shape, etc.
So maybe it's better if there's a deposit.
Now
we'll see. We'll talk about the deposit issue in a moment. But Reb Meisher takes this, he takes this further, because he says that since that's what they're made for, throw away, they're made for one-time use, so if you now go ahead and determine that it's not going to be one-time use, you can use it permanently, you also don't have to be careful.
No, because
it's made for one-time use. What you did as a Jew. I mean, so that's like, you know, so that's, I mean, that doesn't mean you have to be permanent on you. Also, said there's certainly it's hard to say.
Look,
that you shouldn't
need. I've seen people trouble a loop and pull band, and I was like,
yeah. No, okay.
Now, what about plastic?
So we'll talk about that because we haven't gotten even to the question of glass yet. So let's go ahead. Reb Yitzchak bar Yosef zaven mana de marda miyavet kechavi. Now, Reb Yitzchak bar Yosef, he bought these marda kalim. Marda kalim are a mixture of cheres together with dung. They used to make stam dung kalim. Over here, it's a little bit more sophisticated. So in Tibet, they still use this kind of stuff, but. You know, you can burn the kli together with the food when you're finished. That's what they burn it with, also.
Very ecological. Very
So Savalad Bila. So he thought he had to be tabled. Rabbi Yaakov Shmei. Ludidim Mefarish. Let me name Rabbi Yaakov. Rabbi Yaakov told him that Rabbi Yaakov was Mefarish to him. That you'll notice that kli matachot agurim beparasha. All of the mentions of the materials in the parasha, every single one of them is a metal. So it talks about over there Zahav, and Kesev, and the Koshet, and the Deal, and the Oferet. So all of those things are not coincidentally metallic, which means that the common denominator is metal. So this is how some learn. Others learn that there is no common denominator. We'll see in a moment. So that, let's say, if you have an aluminum pan, aluminum isn't mentioned in the parsha. Zinc is mentioned. Lead is mentioned. Aluminum isn't mentioned. So the shaila is, do you have to be titled an aluminum pot? You know, this runs into the question of the glass issue, which now the Gemara brings up. Omer Rav Ashi, Hanei klei zechuchit, hoil v'chi nishtabru yesh lam takana, ki kli matachot dam. Since glass, and here's a very interesting question. What is the meaning of metal v'halacha? You'll notice the only quality of metal that we recognize in the language is the lashon of matechet, which means hatacha, that it's meltable. In which case, something that melts is considered to be like the materials that are mentioned in the parsha. It's called matachot. Glass can be melted down and reformed in the same way that the zinc can and the lead can and so on. And therefore, it has a din of kekli matachot, and you would therefore need to be tabled. So the question is, does that mean that what we're saying is that there is a common denominator and anything which is meltable is included, which would mean that an aluminum pot is certainly included. I said that's even more metallic in the sense of sharing other elements of metals. Or is this viewed only as a takana that the Rabbah, again, assuming, not like the Rambam, but assuming like the Shita, the Rishonim will hold that Tfila is a Diraisa. And we'll see where it's Nagei Mamish on this daf in a moment. But if you hold that it's a Diraisa, then we would view there's a Chuchi, there's a Drabonim, there's a takana because it's similar to Matachot. And therefore, some Taina, where the takana was made, it was made. Where it wasn't made, there wasn't a standing takana that anything that's meltable is considered to be a matzeches. There were those things that were common. So glass was common. They made a takana on glass. So, but aluminum which didn't exist before, is not viewed as anything.
Doesn't
it?
You get it hot enough.
Right. It melts.
It burns.
What do you mean?
Aluminum doesn't melt. I don't think it melts either.
It doesn't melt. Of course it melts.
It doesn't melt in your house.
It melts in your house.
It melts
in your house.
Well, this is the original war.
So they use it in the blends, but it's not even reformed. So in a sense, you can soften it, and you can reform it.
Without a bruch, right?
Yeah, without a bruch. we'll get to the bruch in a minute. And that is in the two cases on. Now, when you're talking about kunya, now kunya is a lead coating, which in modern terms, you would think is basically china or porcelain, the type that the glaze, where they used lead glazes, of course, which is no longer very popular because of the not
so healthy.
Yeah, but I mean, you still can get the cheap, those earthenware kind of things that have a glaze on them are still often lead glazes. And however, in the Gemara, kunya is a reference to an actual metallic coating. So that it's you can see the metal aspect of it, not just the glaze that is used on it. So that when it comes to actual porcelain, there are many who say, and again, Rav Avadya Yosef is very makel on this. There's so many Ashkenazi posts, not to be long on porcelain at all. It's not considered to be makel again.
Not China porcelain.
No, I'm saying those type of things.
Very
serious. Very serious. Yeah. So pligi v'ravaku ravina, chadamar k'tchilato, chadamar k'sofan, actually it's not focused. Whether we look at it as tchilato, where tchilato is made out of cheres, and it's only metallic on top. So some say, okay, you look at this as such as a substrate. Substrate is not metallic. And therefore, you don't need to be tevel it. And the other one says, we don't know who says what, but the other one says k'sofo, you take a look at the coating is metallic. V'yurkata k'sofo, na'alok ala maisa, it's k'sofo. A question, and this is where the issue of bracha and the subject arises, mashkanta mai. How about if a guy has pawned a kli? So you're a Jewish pawn shop keeper. Now you want to use a pawn kli. Oma ma baravashi, abba mashkin le ovetokhovim katarakasta. Actually, my father actually had a pawned cup that was made out of silver. And he used it, but he was tevel it. Now, I'm not sure, lo yadana, im mishum dekatzav ha-mashkanta kezvin edamya, im mishum dekhozal ha-mikachom edayt l'shkuyay. I'm not certain whether he held the ikra din that ha-mashkanta is the equivalent of buying, or whether perhaps he saw in this particular case that the guy had no intention of ever buying it back. So he viewed it as his having actually bought it and giving him the money because he was never going to have any further dealings with the issue. Now, halakha l'maaseh, again, it becomes now a question of whether we're dealing with the Diraisa, or we're dealing with the Drabbanan, because according to Rambam, in these cases, it's a subject of Drabbanan Lakula, and you don't worry about it. Whereas according to Tosfos, who learns it's a Diraisa, you don't make a bracha because the subject of Drabbanan Lakula, but you'd still go ahead and be mad to it. So So there's real practical distinctions between how we understand these drushas as a smachas or miyikra hadin. Tan rabban, halokeach leitashmish minodiko chavim, dvorim shalom ishtamesh behem advilan vehem torim. So things that had never been used, you simply put them in the mikvah. Dvorim shidishtamish behem ayadei tzonein, things that had been used only, and this is again, this means common usage, which you have a right to assumption. This is a common use. And it certainly would be 99% of the use, even if something else had happened. And that's what determines this. So if it's used as a tzonein, such as kosot, chitoniot, tzluchiot, there's usually just the cold drinks to the table. Medichan, you wash them off with water, and here we see clearly in the Braisa the difference between the use of the word matbilan, which we found in Mishnah, and the use of the hadasa. Sinah hadasa umatbilan veitorim. Dvorim shenishtamesh b'mayidei chamin, things that are usually used for hot water. All of those things, whether they're samovars, or they're kettles, or they're pots. Magilan, so you need hagola, and of course you have to commit them. Main Torah. Dvorim shenishtamesh b'mayidei ur, kagon shpudim, haskalaos, if you've got spits, grills, melavdan, umadbilan, main Torah. This is, by the way, one of the problems of the frying pans, the Teflon frying pans, because you can't be malabe in the Teflon without totally destroying it, and you can't just be modulate, because something that's used over an open fire that isn't used with water reaches a higher temperature, obviously, than the boiling point of water, so hagola is not the ball of that pulp on it, you can't be malabe in it. So okay, this is the whole issue. Is Kabbalah and Kabbalah we actually distinguish between levels, or it's either or? And we have the question about the tanurim, about the misakin a tanur without using it as a blowtorch, just on the basis of Kabbalah and Kabbalah. They heat them up very much, and that becomes now sufficient for Gabi to leave them for some account for halachas that are colors. We don't do it for Pesach, or use it for actual Isser, but for other issues we'll do it to be, separate between Basel B'chala and so on. So those things, Yafim Olav, the Kulan, Shishtamesh Ben, Achalo Yafil V'lo Yagil V'lo Yilad Ben. Now notice that over here the Yafil is without the Hadachas. Mashman of the Hatbola that we're talking about over here is the Hadachas. I mean, we're not talking about using something without taking it to the mikvah and asking whether that's kosher for the evidence. And that tells us that it's very difficult to believe that that's a question. Although it's possible, because after all, we just defined the tefillah as having nothing to do with kosher, so it's a shaykh to ask for something to the evidence. On what basis? There's no clay midian over here. There's no giulei akum. What are you going to ask for this? So you did something wrong. There's any time you do something wrong, it's really God's answer. However, this place is possible that maybe because the whole sugya over here, after all, is nogea the din of gilas akum, and it requires hagol, it requires gleam, but what is used in people's minds, it's associated. Maybe the gemara is even considering whether there's a bidyavad on tefila as well. But in any event, in all of the cases where they were used
by the goy.
No, the Jew used them without doing Hagrola, without doing Libun, without being Matzah, which for Pashtus was not used to get without Docha means Adocha. So, again, Kulan. I lost my voice. Kulan, Shishtamish, Bamat, Shaloya, Bil, Veloya, Gil, Veloya, Labain. There we have two brides. Tanya Pada Asa. Tanya Idav Mutter. And it's not a problem. It's not a focus over here. Kasha. Because Hakaman Yaman Nasi Dam of Gam Asa. Hakaman Yaman Nasi Dam of Gam Mutter. And if we're talking about, remember we had before a big shaila about Pogma Purta or Pogma Tuva. Pogma Purta was in the first 24 hours, which we'll talk about tomorrow more. So it's the one brisa is simply expressing it in Nasi Dam of Gam Mutter. So, well, what do you mean? If you're all best time of Gamma's Mutra, how's he understand the whole parasha? So, where's the Gule Akum? What was the Lazakar talking about? So then, Gule Ode Kachov and Jethro Rahman, Ekamish Kachasla. Where does the Torah say that you have to do Agola, you have to do Libon? Oh, Miss Gabriel Reguna, Loas, the Torah, Kedera Bas Yuma. We're talking about a pot that was used today, still Pogma Purta. It's not called best time of Gamma in this sense. The Lord made the time of Gamma. And if that's not considered to be a right to Tom of God, I said, then why don't we just, so wait, And when it's started, they go, but wait 24 hours and then use the pots. What do we have to go through all this? You know, it's going to be mocking and so on. So then Lishtere. So let's be mocked from that point on. Yizerish ain't about you, ma. Yizerish ain't about you, ma. Mishum kider about you, ma. It's a Yizerish. All right, what about the other man, the Omar? Why doesn't he say then that the was gone? And you're going to say that it's what, huh? So he's old, he doesn't care about human. I mean, he's got a problem. But Sarah, to say that it's only talking about a case about human, and therefore to prove against me what's your right, they sound gone. Is also maybe the Torah is only talking about the first 24 hours. No, as we saw before, since there's such a thing as some pedam, anything that's been absorbed into the side of a kli has some element of disfaithfulness. I'd rather we point it out. People make coffee; they're very careful. It shouldn't have any kind of that's why you're glad to eat the coffee if you're a connoisseur. You know, any taste that's coming out from the side is not so bad. But it's still Pogma Purta. He's not machalic between Pogma Purta. Well, not Pogma Purta. Or, if you remember, Jesus before suggested, maybe it's a machalikus, whether this is called the Kalal Pogma. He doesn't like that because he says, why don't we just experiment? I mean, you call consumer reports and let them do a taste test. The Jesus is hesitant to say that it's a machalikus if it's Pogma Purta. Okay, so the Shai already was halakhic whether we're going to distinguish between Pogma Purta or not.
Can I ask something? There are people, I've encountered people who are marking, not you,